Shalom LaYehudim, Shalom LaBnei Noach, Shalom LaGoyim. It's the evening of the fourth day, Yud Beis B'Nisan, Tav Shinayin Vav, the evening of the third day, Tuesday, 26 April 2016, webcasting from the land of holiness promised to the seed of Avraham and his seed almost 4,000 years ago, and the world is still fighting that. Well, last webcast, last Thursday, the day after I returned, one item concerned Ms. Malia Buatia, an English subject of the Queen of England with Algerian roots, though she is considered also black. She is the seed of a black African, possibly kidnapped, enslaved, and forced into practicing the religion of Islam, who obviously was raised to hate the Jewish people. She's now the leader of the National Student Union. Of course, she denied being an anti-Semite, and in a way, that's true. Remember, she was just elected leader of this National Union of Students in the same United Kingdom mandated to bring to life a Palestine that never existed under Muslim domination and do so to make of it a Jewish homeland, which makes of her an antagonist of her countrymen and women, leastwise their decision in 1917 via their Prime Minister David Lloyd George and Foreign Secretary Arthur Balfour, representing the people of Britain, which saw the rightness and justice of doing this, but she's all opposed to that. Today's British electorate now has a large component of barbarians in their midst, and the words of Mali Buatia showed that she is one of them. Sounding 100% English in her speech and with the appearance worthy of a Hollywood starlet or fashion model, Ms. Buatia nonetheless displayed her thinking, which remains that of a Muslim barbarian. And like all Muslim barbarians, she is a mortal enemy of the Jewish people. In response to an outcry of critics about her remarks, most of them angry English Jews, she published an op-ed defending her view that terror against Jews by Muslims in occupied Palestine is not terror, but legitimate armed struggle, or words to that effect. And in this, she was only speaking in perfect alignment with none other than Yasser Arafat, who was given the Nobel Prize for Peace by anti-Semitic Scandinavians, who had spelled out his belief on terror from the podium of the UN General Assembly in 1974. Same idea. Making his first appearance there, Arafat then refuted charges that his Fatah cultists were terrorists. In the footsteps of the Algerian FLN, who terror-bombed Algeria into independence, he explained that a terrorist was only a terrorist if his cause was unjust. Cause was evil. If your cause is just, then anything goes. In his ethical system, if your cause is unjust, and Zionism is unjust, then you are the terrorist. Everything Israel does against the Arabs, even in self-defense, is unjust and an act of terror in his mind. He explained that the PLO were not terrorists, but freedom fighters. Israel was a practitioner of state terrorism in defending itself against PLO operations. And in her op-ed, she asked to clear her name of any charge of anti-Semitism. And it may surprise you that I agree. Anti-Semitism was a collection of cockamamie race theories that supplanted religious Jew hatred in the 19th century. It purported to be scientific, not religious, and for this Ms. Buatia should not be called an anti-Semite. But she still is, like an anti-Semite, delusional in her hatred of Jews. She said last week, remember, that she opposed the Zionist-led mass media. You know, the BBC, The Guardian, The Independent, those bastions of pro-Israel journalism. This is functionally delusional. She imagines a reality that does not exist. On the contrary, she harbors no lunatic race theory about Jews, but does harbor the Palestinian narrative that accuses the Jews of stealing Palestine from its rightful age-old Palestinian landlords and building colonies in their Palestine. What is said here, aside from the Israel angle, is really that English universities nowadays are admitting such low-level thinkers as she. And in this specific case, the thinking of a barbarian. She is a barbarian, and her conception of war between peoples is shows that it has no relation to warfare, as that is known in civilized societies, men in uniform fighting other men in uniform, That's how peoples conflict with one another. Since the mid-19th century as well, a code of conduct has been written in the West and agreed to, whose basic principle, starting principle, is that all is not fair in war, especially when it comes to unarmed civilian noncombatants who must be protected in warfare to the extent possible. Ergo, the evolution of the Geneva Conventions and the very concept of war crimes versus the Arab-Muslim world of Miss Boatia's heritage, where war between nations virtually never happened. The history of Arabi and Islam is a history not of nations in conflict, but tribes and religious sects. History is absent any record of wars between, say, Algerians and their neighbors, the Tunisians, because until the French invented the lines around these two states in the 19th century, they did not exist. In the 19th century, as there had been for millennia, there were a few walled port cities dotting the North African coast, but the interior was just tribes. And to this very day, in the year 2016, the fighting going on in Libya remains tribal. Since Gaddafi's death, there has been no national state there, just tribesmen contending for power, killing each other. That's what's going on in Yemen, too. This is Ms. Bourdieu's heritage, and as such, she remains very tribal in her thinking. When tribes fight, there are no rules of war, leading to war crimes. The clash is not between uniformed soldiers, but tribesmen, for whom war is an expanded kind of family feud or family blood feud, in which no distinction is made between civilians and soldiers. It's people against people, and it's legitimate, for example, to, as we saw recently, to enter the home of a pregnant Jewess and stab her to death in front of her children. That's okay. War is killing and counter-killing of the enemy people. In Ms. Bouatia's Arab-Muslim universe, there's nothing wrong with this kind of behavior. They kill us and we kill them. For her, the Jews and Muslims are in a blood feud, so it's okay to drive your car over Jewish children and kill them because the Jews stole Palestine and continue to oppress you, or so you think. So yes, I concede, as she pleaded in her op-ed rejoinder. She is not an anti-Semite, but I've got news for her and her supporters. There is more than one way to skin a cat and more than one way to hate Jews. And one way is to conjure up a narrative to cover up the underlying pre-existing condition of hatred that has no rational or just basis. The Jew hatred is pre-existent, and in every generation, Jew haters make up a new narrative to justify the pre-existing hatred, the murderous hatred on display out of the mind of this otherwise attractive, seemingly civilized young woman, who in her op-ed retracted not at all her belief that the random ambush murder of Jewish civilians in their daily routines is not terrorism, but resistance to colonial occupation. Resistance, that is how these aggressive Arabs, with a history of armed robbery against innocents today, describe their violence. It's one of the words in the name Hamas, which is an acronym in Arabic for Islamic Resistance Movement. In the ethical universe of Arabs and Muslims, their violence is always in reaction to someone else's criminal aggression against them. Hezbollah, too, always describes its violence against Israel as its resistance. In a way, this is true, for the Zionist movement has always been experienced as a rebellion against Islam, an insult to Islam, insubordination before the dictates of the Quran that requires humiliating and oppressing the Jews for disbelieving in Muhammad as the final and greatest prophet in history, superior even to Abraham, Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Jesus. Zionism has been the Intifada, which means rising up of the Dhimmi, the oppressed Jews, who have no right to do that. Islam has no tolerance for the resurrection of southern Syria as an independent Jewish state with an army and a navy and an air force. No way. It appears that Ms. Bouatia is no anti-Semite in the original sense of that word, but anti-Semitic intellection had a monopoly on thinking evil about Jews. Today, the claims of the 19th century and Semites are yesterday's news, but in their place has come Palestinian nationalism. The nationalism of a nation that never existed, never lifted a finger for the welfare of the people in Palestine, never fought a war in defense of their imagined homeland and history, had no war heroes for them to remember, no kings, no nothing. And it's true that no one on the planet could write two fact-filled sentences on Palestinian history prior to the rise of the Zionist movement. All that the world today knows of the allegedly indigenous Palestinians is that Israel stole their country from them and won't give it back. This fairy tale is for sure the narrative in Miss Bouatia's pretty head. And as a barbarian, she sees nothing wrong in fighting one's enemy barbarian style, calling it resistance, stabbing Jews in the back is just fine.
עורכים שולחן לבן המלך גם ראיתי סולם געגועים יורדים ועולים שמעתי רוחות שמלטפות את העלים ראיתי אותך זה לא חזיון תעתועים שמעתי שהים הכריז על יום שמח ראיתי הכוכבים והירח מרקדים גם הם יודעים בחזרה להתגלגל שמעתי שהשמש היא בעצם צל ראיתי מגדל מזדעזע ונחל השתגענו אין לנו יותר פנים רק הולכים ומתקלים כל הזמן אז תבוא כן תבוא לא נשארו כלים כדי שנוכל אותם לשבור אנחנו לא יודעים מי פה צלול מי השיקור שתמיד נפל לבר מן הסתם אז תבוא כן תבוא שמעתי שאתה ממש עומד בשער ושכל סתמים יוכל לגור ביער ושמעתי שגם הלב הזה יותר לא ימות דמיון יחתום הסכם שלום עם הציבות כל הצלילים יהיו לשיר אחד פשוט תבוא אנחנו מחכים לך יותר מדי שנים אנחנו השתגענו אין לנו יותר פנים רק הולכים
In a news story thematically related to the first segment, Israeli news outlets today reported on a public opinion survey done by the veteran Arab polling company, the Jerusalem Media and Communications Center in East Jerusalem. They reported that less than half, 47.4% of the Arab youth in Judea and Samaria, oppose the recent murders of dozens of Jews with knives and vehicles. And a similar percentage, 40.9%, think these Jew killings serve the Palestinian cause. And there you have it. I say there can be no greater, better argument against the two-state solution, a.k.a. a retreat by Israel from the high ground it took in 1967. It is, for my money, in line with the last segment in the matter of tribal ethics by Arabs to this day. The finest proof that our neighbors are barbarians and handing the high ground over to them and retreating is a scenario that denies the very humanity of Jews. That is the request that a 500,000 Jews abandon their homes and communities and the IDF remove itself asks of the Jews behavior just not normal. It's not something the average intelligent person would agree to. These people are savage barbarians and no good can come from handing over even one more yard to these people. And moreover, it's virtually humiliating that Israel does not demand its rights in this fight for survival. The civil rights movement in the States in the 1960s, in which yours truly was a rank-and-file soldier, was for the rights of Negroes to equal treatment. And I say we Jews here, likewise, have rights that the world in general, and Arabs and Muslims in particular, have yet to respect. In this crazy generation, when demanding that boys use the boys' room and girls use the girls' room is an act of bigotry, Israel is seen as the racist oppressor, the apartheid state, when in truth, it's the Muslims and the Arabs who play the role of the whites in the American South or whites in South Africa. They resisted equal rights for Negroes and blacks in the two countries. In our region, it's the Arabs and Muslims who resist the rights of Jews to live free of their oppression. Likewise, Sharia law embodies the true apartheid law around here in its institutional hostility to Jews. As the whites in South Africa refuse the blacks, the majority in the country, the right to rule themselves in a black-majority state, so the Arabs and Muslims here have never respected the right of Jews to get out from under the Islamic apartheid system that we lived under for more than 1,000 years. This latest public opinion poll is powerful proof that the idea of Israel handing over Judea and Samaria to the Arabs there, here, is detached from reality. And it is an anti-Semitic demand for demanding we behave as no other people in our predicament would behave. It's an inhuman demand, and Israel's refusal to do as told makes Joe Biden overwhelmingly frustrated by the Israeli government, by Bibi, but too bad. I remember thinking in the truly dizzying first years of the Oslo madness that maybe my fears were exaggerated. I thought that when the violence erupted, it might represent only a small faction of the Arabs, say maybe 5%, and if it's only 5% of the Arabs there, after the Oslo agreements were signed, who were protesting, maybe we could deal with that and live with that, but then it turned out that such statistics have been with us since day one of the Oslo delirium. When roughly half of the young Arab males in Judea and Samaria applaud stabbing Jews in the back and running us over in the street, Israel has no choice but to remain the sovereign power west of the Jordan River. Which is why I support annexing Judea and Samaria, if only because it is our land as of right. And Israel must fight for its rights as the Negroes and the blacks in America and South Africa once did. For, at bottom, this is a war of Islam against Jews. And in that case, bargaining over what land to hand back is way off the mark. The violence is not about statehood for Palestinians, but statehood for Jews. The bloodshed is about, as the enemy says, his resistance, and to what? Jewish freedom. So-called Palestinians are nothing but a verbal concoction that spearhead the larger Arab appetite to loot the wealth we Jews have created here, and justify doing so in the name of Islam. Their resistance is not to Israeli crimes, but the very existence of Israel. And then there was another news item today illuminating the reality that our neighbors here are barbarians. Even Fox News chose to report that, quote, Palestinian leaders have offered up an unlikely candidate for the Nobel Prize, a man serving 5 life sentences for murder, Marwan Barghouti. Yeah, in fact, it was believed he was responsible for 30 murders, but for legal convenience, he was tried only for 5. The PA's head of prisoner affairs earlier this month said, quote, that Barghouti's candidacy for the Ra Prize is essentially a call to Israel to recognize the legitimacy of the prisoners' struggle and stop calling them terrorists and criminals, close quote. In the 1970s, Arafat and company were claiming as well they were not criminal terrorists when they ambushed and massacred Israeli athletes at the Olympic Games, but they were freedom fighters. And here we are, a biblical generation of 40 years and counting later, still being lectured by these savages over what constitutes criminal violence. This is a war for Jewish freedom from Arab-Muslim oppression, and coincidentally a war for Western civilization over Arab-Muslim barbarism.
Hola. נהדר בכבוד על המרכבה זכות ומישור לפני חיסו חסד ורחמים מלא כבודו
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. And now for the French, who, like the Arabs and Muslims, have a history of anti-Jew antipathy. Last Thursday, France notified Jerusalem that on May 30th, France will host a gathering of dozens of foreign ministers to decide Israel's fate. The message, of course, did not use such language. It was reported that the French would convene all these Goy foreign ministers in an effort to, quote, renew the Israeli-Palestinian peace process, close quote. Well, that's two major misconceptions right there, begging to be deprogrammed. There is no Israeli-Palestinian peace process, never was, and so there's nothing to renew. France said it would convene this conference without the participation of Israel and the Ancient Ones, which right there smacks of the old imperial France dictating to tiny third world peoples, and simultaneously posits a moral equivalence between Israel and these Arab savages dishonestly called Palestinians, which very name attaches them to Palestine, presumes a legitimate connection to Palestine by Palestinians. The very name loads the dice. The news items smelled of a France conjuring up a gang-up on Israel. Let's not kid ourselves. France and all the foreign ministers it will invite agree that the Jews must be forced to hand back the territorial spoils of war they took in 1967. About that proposition, there will be no debate, and what I personally find fascinating is the apparent obliviousness to this ganging up on the Jews, as in centuries past, by the French and all those who will attend this shindig. A guiltless fantasy is at work here of all these nations coming together to order the Jews to retreat and to drive hundreds of thousands of Israelis from their homes that these Israelis believe they have the right to live in and under Jewish majority rule, i.e. under the existing state of Israel. What's wrong with that? The French Foreign Minister Jean-Marc Ayrault said last Thursday that an immediate obstacle to renewing the peace talks was, quote, the violence between the sides. When this insinuates, both sides are guilty for the violence, when clearly Arab aggression is always self-starting and Israeli violence is always in self-defense against this Arab aggression. The French ambassador in Israel, Pierre Vimont, recently said that the two-state solution means the 1967 borders. When in 1967 there were no borders, so he was lying. He also said the solution means Jerusalem as the capital of two states, and never mind such a Siamese twin of a capital between mortal enemies has never existed in human history. In other words, the hostility to Jews is expressed in these inhuman demands. In any case, one factor leading to this French focus on the relationship between Jews and Arabs, Muslims here is surely the situation in France itself, between Frenchmen and Arab Muslims. In other words, it's a distraction from the mounting evidence in France that the French are losing their country to these Arab Muslims. What Israel might do in response to this unbelievably insulting French attempt to tell us how to manage our lives with these Arabs is to announce the convening of a conference of international experts to tell the French how to deal with their Muslims. The conference could focus on the reported 751 zones in France now surrendered to the Muslims, where French police fear to tread. The conference could also lecture France on its responsibility to protect its Jews from these Muslim barbarians in their midst. The Jews in France were afraid to identify themselves in public in fear of what a conscienceless Muslim savage passing by might do to them. France should be taken to task for its neglect of Jewish rights. which calls to mind France's behavior in World War II, when the French shipped off 75,000 Jews to be gassed and incinerated. The French have no awareness, in other words, of how obnoxious they are, and convening a gathering of nations via their ambassadors to say j'accuse against the Jewish state, which has become the new Dreyfus affair, for the crime of stealing Palestine from the Palestinians.
תשמח, או אל תראה רק את הרע, תשמח, תראה את הטוב, כי גם ברע יש דבר נסתר, חפש ומצא את הטוב. תשמח, אל תראה רק את הרע, תשמח, תראה את הטוב, בכל אדם יש דבר נסתר, חפש ומצא את הטוב. תשמח, יש תקווה ידידי, תראה סימנים בדרך. תשמח, כי לכל יהודי יש חלק לעולם הבא. תשמח, או אל תראה רק את הרע, תשמח, תראה את הטוב, בכל אדם יש דבר נסתר, חפש ומצא את הטוב. וגם בך יש דבר נסתר, חפש ומצא את הטוב. תשמח, יש תקווה ידידי, תראה סימנים בדרך. תשמח, כי לכל יהודי יש חלק לעולם הבא. או תשמח, יש תקווה ידידי, תראה סימנים בדרך. כן, תשמח, כי לכל יהודי יש חלק לעולם הבא. כי גם ברע יש דבר נסתר, חפש ומצא את הטוב. בכל אדם יש דבר נסתר, חפש מצא את הטוב. וגם בך יש דבר נסתר, חפש ומצא את הטוב. חפש ומצא את הטוב.
Well, so far Passover week has been seen glorious summer weather, and Israelis have been driving all over the place, having picnics, seeing the sights, enjoying our island of civilization amid a sea of barbarians, the same ones threatening Western civilization, as Islam has threatened the West whenever it had the chance since its beginning. So I'll be back, God willing, this Sunday to resume the usual thrice-weekly webcasts. Until then, Modim Simcha, Chag Sameach, Shabbat Shalom, Me'eretz Yisrael.